Translation. O sinless Maharaj Parikshit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas, saw that Ajamil was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Shastras say, Dadurachara, Deva Brahma Nindakaha, Apacha Bojanastasham, Akale Madaram Dhruvam. For persons who are Prapishta, very sinful, and Durachara, misbehaved, or unclean in their habits, who are against the existence of God, who disrespect the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, and who eat anything and everything, ultimately death is sure. It is said that in Kali Yuga one has a maximum lifetime of 100 years. But as people become degraded, the duration of their lives decreases. Prayena Payushaha. Because Ajamil was now free from all sinful reactions, his lifetime was extended, even though he was to have died immediately. When the Vishnu Dutas saw Ajamil trying to say something to them, they disappeared to give him a chance to glorify the Supreme Lord, since all of his sinful reactions had been vanquished. He was now prepared to glorify the Lord. Indeed, one cannot glorify the Lord unless one is completely free from all sinful activities. This is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Yesham tu anantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te devanva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The Vishnu Dutas made Ajamil aware of devotional service so that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. In the mode of separation, the glorification is very intense. Jai. It's a little harder for me to read those because usually I read it on the Kindle, the reader, and I make the words bigger. So when the words are smaller. So we have to figure out how to contact Krishna consciousness. We find that we think that we don't need the spiritual master between us, but it is like the glasses. Something between you may make it easier to actually understand. Om Ajnana Timaranya Sagana Gnasalakaya Chaksuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I was born in the darkness of ignorance, although I probably wasn't the only one, right? Who wasn't born in the dark of ignorance? Who was born pure? Who was born pure? Yes, you were born pure? He was born pure. Okay, good. He was born pure without sin. We notice that in the beginning here that Sukadeva Goswami is addressing him as, O sinless Maharaj Parikshit. This is the goal. Today we'll be discussing some of the things from this verse which talk about being sinless, about detachment, about using your intelligence to engage people in devotional service, and unconditional love. And of course, the point here is to become sinless. When Maharaj Parikshit is sinless, everything is accomplished. The life is extended. We get back the things. This also gives us the idea of cost to value ratio that we must explain to people. Like I was telling people yesterday, if I tell you I want 100 rupees for something, you may say no, but if it's a 1,000 rupee note, you will say yes, the cost is less than the value. So we have to show this to people. There are some things that they do, like some people here smoke cigarettes. Is a smoking cigarette good? Why isn't it good? Because we practice great etiquette and we want to be great Brahmins, is that why? Is it? No, why? Why is it smoking cigarette is not good? What? Addiction? Cancer? Yes. Every cigarette you smoke takes like 6 minutes off your life. So who wants to give 6 minutes so they have pack 20 are in there? So that is like 2 hours. Here, can I buy 2 hours off my life? People are trying to, they want more time, not less, right? Can I buy a shorter life? Can I buy suffering? So we want to engage people, not because it is some high moral principle, but because they are killing themselves. We want them to know what is good for them and what is not. So we see this, that is the point, is to become sinless. But as Prabhupada says, it is a long road from the beginning of Karma Yoga to the end of Bhakti Yoga. We know the ultimate goal, and we know the beginning, but quite often we're just content with the middle. We know, yes, you chant 16 rounds, you follow principles, you go to programs, but we don't know about devotional service, or we don't know how to get someone started. If I call on the phone and I ask, what are the directions to the temple in Juhu? What is the first thing you need to ask me? Someone answer, what is it? What? What? No, that's not it. You want to get them here and then engage them. If I'm asking for directions, before you give me directions, what do you need to know? What? The starting point. Yes. Where are you at now? Right? Where are you at now? We have to know where people are and then how to move them along. And of course, this is the point. By becoming sinless, we will become pure. And then we become detached. Now, some people think, well, how can you become detached and you have love? Because actually with detachment, you have higher love. Because you care for people and you give them good instruction. Not because you want people to do what you're doing. I like cricket, so I want people to play cricket. Actually, I don't play cricket, so I don't want anyone to play cricket. Better just not to worry. So we want people to take to devotional service for their benefit. That is why we say in the Bhakti Vrikshas that Jayapataka Swami came up with the saying, people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. If I tell you, I've been studying this book for years and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, you look at this now. It may be true, but you will become aghast. If I say, let me see if I can help you. I have found a few things that helped me. Maybe they can also help you. So detachment actually gives us higher love because we want to help someone because we want them to be helped. And if they don't take to the devotional service, then we are not worried. This is how the book distributors do well. One distributor, Pragosh, I asked him, how you do so well? He said, I spend 90% of time with 10% who are most interested. And if people are not interested, I say one word, next. We're done, you let them go. You're just looking for the people who actually want it. That is what we are looking for. So we see here that the Vishnu Dutas became available to Ajamil when he wanted it. And they came to give him the devotional service. But once he had got the idea, they left him alone to think about it. Because even though we encourage and guide people in devotional service, it has to come internally. Otherwise, it is not as good. But of course, to do this, we again have to become sinless ourself. We have to develop the Krishna consciousness ourself to guide people. Prabhupada once said in a letter that the managers must bring out the natural spirit of devotion, which is independent, voluntary, and self-motivated. They must encourage them to increase on their own. This is the best way to engage people in devotional service. Of course, if we don't know what it is ourselves, we will have a hard time teaching other people. Why is it that I cannot teach people how to play cricket? You know why? What? What? I don't know how. Today I will practice as much cricket as I did every day. You know how much? Zero. So I can't decrease. So I can't teach them. Even if I put on nice uniform, I get the wicket, maybe a number, right? I get a badge with, what's his name? Who's the famous player? Sachin? I'll put a picture of him there as if I know what I'm doing, but I have no idea. So it doesn't mean anything, right? So they have different systems of management in business. The custodian just lets things go on as they are. He doesn't play much part. That isn't too good. Next is the authoritarian. The authoritarian tells you, you must do what I tell you because I'm in charge. The motivator motivates people to want to do their job. Now, of course, you can study these systems of management, but what is the problem with just studying them? Can someone see a correlation in these systems of management and the three gunas? Can someone see it? Which guna is the custodian in? He just lets things happen. Which guna? Begins with T and rhymes with Rama. What is it? Tama. Very good. If the tamagun. And the person who is really attached to being in charge, what guna is he in? Rajagun. And the person who encourages other people to want it, what guna is he in? Which? Goodness, sattvagun. So, what, they have the expression like pretty is as pretty does? Just like I say that I use the system with study that garbage, like the computer, if garbage goes in, garbage goes out. If wrong information goes in, wrong information goes out. I use the same system, but I don't use garbage. I use Krishna consciousness. If I study some Krishna consciousness, some will come out. If I have not studied any book, just like I cannot give a lecture on cricket because I have not studied. So, to teach the motivation, you have to come to the mode of goodness yourself. You find people study this, but they are so much in the Rajagun that they're more attached to being in charge than they are to getting the best result. That's why the verse starts out with being sinless. By being sinless, we automatically accomplish this. And we help people to realize their best potential. Again, we have to understand where people are starting. Prabhupada says that if you're sick and you go in the pharmacy, the medicine you need is there, right? But will it do you any good? Do you just go to a pharmacy and buy some medicine? What do you do? First you go to a doctor, find out what the disease is, and then you take the prescription. So, to help other people, first we have to help ourselves. Because we can't give something to people that we don't have ourselves. I can't give cricket to people because I don't know. Sachin Tendulkar can teach people. We have to have this ourselves. And we study in Bhagavad Gita that we have to understand what the sickness is. We have to look at people and see, are they some of these people who don't approach Krishna? Are they the mudas that just work so hard, I'm too busy, leave me alone? We leave them alone. Are they the Naradamas that just do what everyone else does? Right? Are they the Mayaprita Ganas that they know everything so they can't learn anything more? That's a big mistake, because we can always learn something more, yes? Who knows everything? Right? And then we have the Asura, the out-and-out demonic person. What do we say to the Asuras who are mean, belligerent, and nasty? What do we say to them? You know what we say to them? What we say to them, it is the same thing as this. What is there God can't do? Poor people have it, and rich people don't need it. What is that? Think about it carefully. What God can't do it, what is it? And poor people have it. Rich people don't need it. What is it? No. What is it God can't do? Think about it carefully. Yes, what? What? No, God can't do. What is it God can't do? And poor people have it. What? No, God has free will. Think about it carefully. Rich people don't need it, poor people have it, and God can't do it. And it's the same thing we say to demoniac people. Nothing. What is there God can't do? Nothing, right? What do poor people have? Nothing. What do rich people need? Nothing. What do we say to the Asuras? Nothing. We leave them alone, right? You can get those by each one. If poor people have it and God can't do it, it's nothing. So we see that when we're talking to someone, there's four kinds of pious people. Some people are in want of money. Some people are in distress. Some people are just inquisitive. Some people want knowledge of the absolute truth. Before you give Krishna consciousness, somebody shows up in nice new Mercedes, and he comes with his new beautiful wife and says, I have everything I need. I'm happy, but I really want to know what is beyond. You tell them, oh, there is so much suffering in this world. Let me give you some prasadam and some rupees. Is that the proper message? Not for them. Someone comes in struggling, oh, I'm hungry and I don't know what to do. Here, eat some khichdi, pray to Krishna. So sometimes we know that Krishna consciousness is the solution, but we don't know what the problem is, right? Quite often people don't know what the problem is. By not knowing what the problem is, it is difficult to approach the problem. For instance, we'll take the condition of the alcoholic who drinks alcohol. He thinks, my problem is I drink too many drinks, right? Maybe I have 10, 20 drinks. So if I only have one drink, since the problem is 20 drinks, if I have one drink, I will be okay, right? Is that true? No, why not? It is like you are standing in a big gasoline. And you think, if there's a big fire, that's bad. But if I just put one match in the gasoline, it won't be a problem, right? Is that true? No. So that person has to realize we are talking about the modes of nature. When you get into the mode while contemplating the objects of attachment, you develop the attachment to them. So the problem for that alcoholic is not the 10th drink, it is the first one. Because the first one puts him in the mode of ignorance and he has to have more. So if he thinks the problem is having 4 or 5 and I only have 1, because it sounds good, But it isn't true. It is just like if I jump off this building, the problem is when I hit the ground, right? So I'll jump off the roof and I will stop at the third floor, right? Is it possible? As you go by the third floor, you say, well, so far it's not a problem. So we have to realize the problem is in the beginning. Krishna says to curb the sinful of lust in the beginning. Because once we are on the journey has started. So they don't know what the problem is. Their problem is not second, third, tenth drink. It is the first one. Because that starts the phenomena of the mode of ignorance. So we have to understand what is the problem and how to get people started. We have to understand what is best for people's needs. Just like in the sale of books or in the sale of products. The person doesn't say, do you want to buy a car? They say, do you like the lal one, the hara one, or the nila one? Either way, they are buying a car, right? You show people the books. You say, it doesn't matter to me. You can buy all of them, or you can buy just the Bhagavatam set, or just the Chaitanya Charitamrita set. It is up to you. So you give people choices. You say, oh, you can clean the temple, or you can go on Sankirtan. You give them choices, but they are all devotional. You say, oh, the choice is yours. Do you want to go on the Harinama or distribute books? You give people the choices that are beneficial to them. Just like when I was alone in South Africa, this is how I would distribute the books. I would show them the set of Krishna books and a Bhagavatam and a Gita, and then I would show them a couple more books. And I say, do you want the whole 3,000 rupee set, or do you want to start with just the 2,200 rupee set? And then you know what you say? You know what you say next? Nothing. You leave them alone, like the Vishnu Dutas said. You give people a choice. Just like if I ask you, do you want to buy all of the Bhagavatams, or do you want to start with just the first canto, the Krishna book, and the Gita? He'll take the whole set. Because you put the pressure on them. You don't ask someone, do you want a book or not? You ask them, do you want the Bhagavatam or the Gita? Now what if they don't want the Gita but they want the Bhagavatam? Is it a success? What if they want the other book? Is it still a success? You give them choices that are going ahead. Do you want all three books or you rather start with just one? Then you say nothing. Because, as the Vishnu Dutas said, you give them the choice, you let them think about it. If I ask you, do you want all three books or just one? If I have to look at you for 10 minutes, I will sit there until you answer. Because the pressure is on you. You can make a choice. But either choice, you are moving forward. But I'm letting you have the choice. Right? So this is a way, if you could get people together, show them what each book is, then they get started. That is why quite often, yesterday one person, I said, he was one person from with long hair from Europe. I said, oh, you're all going for chanting? He says, well, I'm just going for listening. I said, oh, that is a great place to start, because actually we listen before we chant. So the idea is to get someone started. Even if they just take one book, you tell someone, don't come to our temple and become brahmachari. You know, come visit our temple. You get them started. Because if we get them started easy, that is the main part, getting someone started. We plant a seed in the ground. A seed isn't a whole tree. You plant a seed. You find this is what happened. Narada Muni was wandering in the forest, and he saw these animals that were half dead. And he thought, who is half killing these animals? And behind a bush, he saw this one person with red hair and dark skin and an ugly look on his face and a bow. And so, a saintly person is a kind friend to all living entities. He said, oh, you, what are you doing? And when he said that, a deer who this hunter was stalking ran away. And this hunter said, "You have chased away this deer." And Nardimuni says, "Oh, I'm sorry." He says, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Ragari the hunter." And Nardimuni says, "I noticed there were some animals half killed along the road. Did you do that?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm like the Naradama." He says, "I do this. My father did this. My grandfather did this. So it's okay, right? Just like if you are robbing the bank and the police come and you say, "Oh, but my father was bank robber. My grandfather was also bank robber." They say, "Oh, well, this is your dharma," and they let you go, right? Is that what happens? No. So he thought this was his conditioning. This was okay. So it is very difficult to get this person started at the end of bhakti yoga. So how does Narada Muni get him started? With something simple. He says, "At least I have a request from you. At least you completely kill the animals. You don't half kill them. You completely kill them." Sounds like this isn't very good. It's funny, like I was asking Jayapataka Swami once, we were in Bangalore. And Bangalore has always had some problems, people trying to take money and take more than they need. And the one disciple was, he had a whole list of things he wanted Jayapataka Swami to do and what he needed, and "Can you take me here?" And I said, "You know, he seems to want so much more from the guru than he wants to give." I said, "How do you reconcile this?" He says, "Well, sometimes it is like the story of the miser, the kripana. When the sannyasi came to his house, the kripana came and threw coal in his cloth. And the sannyasi says, 'Thank you so much.' And the miser says, 'How can you thank me for this coal?' And the sannyasi says, 'Because you are such a kripana, such a miser, that any giving you do at all is good. It doesn't even matter what it is.' Once this one bum came to the temple and brought some toilet paper. Prabhupada said, 'Thank you so much.' Because any little thing you do to get started is good for that person." So we just asked him to stop half killing the animals. So he says, "All right." And then by doing the one thing, then he says, "Okay, what else can I do?" Okay, now when he's asking what else, now when he has become teachable. Because to teach someone, we have to make sure they are teachable. That is why we see if they're inquisitive or in search of knowledge or in need of wealth or in distress. We see if they're teachable. Otherwise, there's no point teaching them. There's no point giving a lecture in French if no one speaks French. We have to find out if they're teachable. So then he said, "What else can I do?" He says, "Then you can break your bow." He says, "Oh, but how will I live?" He says, "Don't worry, Krishna will take care of you." So then he has faith in Krishna. And Narada Muni comes back later with Parvat Muni. And Parvat Muni says, "Your disciple seems to be doing these funny things. He is jumping here and there." Narada Muni says, "Well, we'll let him explain when he comes." So Narada Muni asked him, "How are you doing?" He says, "I'm keeping well. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And the village people give me everything I need." And Parvat Muni says, "Well, why were you jumping here and there?" He says, "Well, because there were ants on the path and I did not want to hurt them." He said, "So the whole thing begins from just the start. So what we want to do is get people started in devotional service." Just as when my friend said, "Oh," and I told him he was killing the bird. He said, "That's a cruel thing to do." He said, "Well, you eat meat, don't you?" I said, "Yes, we all do." He said, "How many animals do they have to kill for you to eat meat?" I said, "Probably a lot." He said, "So it's okay for me to kill the bird?" I said, "No, I'll never eat meat again." And that was 1967. So, to get people started. So when we are doing books, we just tell them, "Oh, these are what the books are. Which one do you want to start with? We don't tell people move in the Brahmacharya Ashram. We tell them come visit our temple to see what's there. We ask people, oh, come take some prasadam. Come watch what we are doing. Come be our guest. And that is why we have so many things going on. We have the artik. We have classes and drama performances. We have the dioramas for people to see. We have free prasadam. We have the restaurant. We have bakery. We have so many things to get people started. But what we want to do is figure out not how to get people to the end, but how to get people started. If we are going to get oranges, mangoes, guavas, we don't just find a tree, we plant a seed. So what we have to figure out how to do with people is to plant the seed of devotion and let them consider on their own what is the best way for them to start. We give people the choices and help nurture them, but we want the choice to be theirs. But we have to give them the proper choices. But then we let the choice be theirs, and then we help them facilitate that choice. Because we want to get people started in Krishna consciousness, not because we like people to do what we're doing, but we know that this is the ultimate benefit for them. This way, we are using our intelligence, we are giving the best benefit, but we are detached in that we don't care if they take it or not, and we don't care how quickly they take it. We are giving them the benefit, and we let the choice be theirs. And we love them either way. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments? I got the date right today. Yes, any question or comment? So how did Ajamil get started? The one benefit, he had chanted Hare Krishna when he was earlier. For us, we want pure devotional service, right? But for some people, if they just hear the holy name, if they just take a book, and they just chant Hare Krishna, they're saved from the greatest kind of danger, that they don't go to the animal kingdom or to hell. Now, of course, we want more, right? It's just like a person who has gone to prison. If they get out of prison, even if they don't become a rich person or famous, if they just don't go back to prison, it's a success, yes? So for those people, that may be all that they can get, like the Kripana, that he just gave something. So if they just get prasadam, they just get a book, they just hear the holy name, even if they don't take the devotional service now, they will take the devotional service in another lifetime, and they won't take birth as an animal. And that's not everything, but it's a good start. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.